after having saved the city and rounded up all of the remaining cultists that were able to be brought in alive, some of them just got stabbed to death, you took a well-earned rest. And as you assess the city over the next couple of days, the enemy's plan became abundantly clear. Whilst in the moment it was a complete mess as far as you were concerned. You had there the demon cultists wanted the demon itself brought into the city so that they could wreak havoc and destroy everything, and they started multiple uprisings across the city with the intent that they would be able to use the power of this monster to level the city and gain control of it. But in the process, you took out the very fortress that was bringing it, then killed it, which completely upended all of their plans. And then you murdered their leader. I mean, murdered is probably a strong word.
We brought the leader to justice.
Yes. I mean, I think you offered him a surrender.
I mean, we probably would have. And even if not, he deserved it.
Oh, definitely. You know, dozens of civilians were turned into those blob creatures and were unfortunately lost in the process. But the overall damage caused was minimal compared to what it could have been. Had that thing reached the walls, hundreds if not thousands would have died. You are heroes.
Hell yeah.
And as heroes, cleanup duty is assigned to other people. Low-level adventurers who need the money, so to speak. You have some downtime. A couple days. You got about a week before the wedding. In the first couple of days, is there anything you would like to do or anyone you'd like to seek out? The city is not back to normal. There was, you know, a few fires that were started and things are needing to be rebuilt. And people are a little skittish, but word travels. And when you do leave, you see people like pointing and whispering, and like people wave and they recognize you once they know who you are. And you find that spending money in several taverns is pointless because somebody else has already bought you enough drinks to keep you kersnickered for a weekend.
Nice.
So, when we first got there, I planted a big weed farm, and Jeff, he did some spell where it promotes growth, and then we haven't checked on that weed farm since. I wouldn't mind checking that out.
Alrighty. So you guys decide to take a day trip out of town to the religious sanctuary where you are growing more religious incense or drugs. And you see that the crop is quite high. In some places it's 5 or 6 feet tall.
No pun intended.
It's quite high. Oh my god.
Glad you got that. And as you start approaching it, you notice that there's a two-story building with several windows and little balconies off of it that has sprung up just off to the east of it, maybe a half a mile, towards the oasis. around the farm, there are a couple of buildings that have been constructed, all operated by satyrs who have very tiny pupils as they tend the fields by hand.
I still have that joint with the essence of Margaret on it, eh?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah?
So I guess now's the time where we're gonna burn that sucker up.
I can't believe you remembered that.
Me either.
So you take a seat in the middle of the field. Who would you like to bring for this? This seems like something that Lupini would, you know, would have thought of before she left.
Just the party members. But maybe the party members that started it. Maybe you can be Jeff's character.
Cal is actually easy to find, as you discover that the two-story building by the Oasis is actually a resort and hotel that he has built for himself, and animal retreat.
Yeah, that sounds like Cal.
You know, it's also close enough that he can keep half an eye on the farm as well.
Nice.
Two eyes, as often as he can spare them.
I mean, he's got a entire menagerie of animals and jackals and all sorts of animal friends that he has made since then, so it's entirely possible that he always has eyes on the farm. It's just not his.
So with my companions there, I'm going to name the first strain of product released from the farm. We'll call it, I guess, the Wrath of Grogu.
So you're sitting in the middle of the field, just having a puff all to yourselves. The staff are giving you guys more than ample space to just kind of enjoy. And they are taking in the aromas as you smoke the essence of Margaret. Is there anything you'd like to talk about?
I guess, like, well, we would just, you know, talk about memories and our excursion and the highlights and the funny things that happened and do all that kind of stuff, reminiscing.
Zan will lean back a little and be like, man, world's fucked up, man.
So then I'll get a little more real and... Because I had this plan all along was to kill Balthazar and take all over his power and everything. But now I'm starting to have second thoughts on that. And so, yeah, we don't have to worry about me taking that route anymore. That's what I'd say out loud to my crew. Well, not out loud, but in whispering distance to my crew. Because they already knew
Zanel's intentions. Yeah, Zan'll shrug and she'll be like, eh, long as you don't hurt Vamir.
I just have a feeling if I did that, Vamir would have to attack me in defense, and I would have to defend, and now we have a divided party. I didn't want to go down that road.
That's true. That would be interesting, though.
Yeah, I was highly considering it last night, and then I chickened out when we started playing. After everything was all nice.
Cal, who is exceptionally buggered because he doesn't usually smoke, but for this special occasion has made an exception. High as a kite. Turns and goes, I mean, it's essentially just a political marriage or whatever, right? So, like, if you're annoyed with him, just go for a walk.
Or just set up with a girl like Candid Camera, and then he'll cheat on me and I can take everything anyways. Prenup, motherfucker.
Oh, Cal is just falling back laughing at pretty much anything at this point.
Yeah, Zan is very unconcerned with everything.
Well, you spend a few hours reminiscing as the stars overhead are shining. You can kind of see them peeking out through the leaves of your crop.
The Wrath of Grogu.
Wrath of Grogu.
That's the name of the strain of weed we're producing at the farm.
I like it.
I like it.
Jinx.
Now I can't talk.
Why?
Because you jinxed me.
Oh. I so miss that. I think I've had a little bit too much of that awesome strain.
That's a broke. Alrighty, so you spend a few hours out there relaxing before meandering your way back into the city.
Oh, I made a quick amendment. We'll call it Grogu's Wrath.
Grogu's Wrath.
Yeah, that sounds good.
You've got time. The marketing team hasn't even heard the name the first time yet, so you're good. You will convey that to them in the morning, because if Zan is outside, then it is most certainly not the middle of the day.
Is my little man who I ride around like a horse, is he still around?
Oh, that guard.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, well, I wanna ride him around wherever we go for the rest of the... He'll be my ring bearer, too.
All right. It shall be done. He has actually now has a saddle that is designed to provide you a little more comfort and free up his arms to carry you.
Damn right he does.
I mean, he just gets paid to carry you around now. And so, yes, you are carried around by this man who, whenever you enter into a room, announces your entrance before bringing you into the room.
It's pretty badass, not gonna lie. Like, in a very hilarious way.
The future queen, Terry Lyneth Lupini! And then he steps into the room, because the room needs to know you're coming before you get there.
And can I have someone, like, clicking coconuts like Monty Python behind him?
Absolutely.
Nice.
You guys have the cash for that, that's fine. So Lupini is now a tiny procession around wherever she goes.
That's pretty hilarious. Stan,
over the next 2 days, is there anything that you would like to seek out and do?
I like to think that Zan spends most of her nights like out along the walls of the city, making sure that any damage in the city has either gotten repaired or is on its way to being repaired.
I'll nudge her and suggest maybe she wants to go on a little hunt there to get some dinner.
Yeah, absolutely, we'll do that too. But I think one of her concerns is to make sure that the people in the city are actually good and safe. Homes rebuilt and stuff like that.
There is a lot of construction going on quite quickly. Some of them don't have repairs started yet, but you come across at least a dozen buildings with new scaffolding or some sort of equipment or repair being done on them.
That's good.
Well, I want to make my presence known, so I double efficiency and clink around with my coconuts and make sure everyone sees me come in so they work harder.
Well, it's nighttime, so I presume they're resting. Unless you go out during the day.
No, not before our wedding night, they're not resting.
I would just like to point out that hiring a 5-piece band would only cost you about 10 gold a day.
No, just a coconut. Maybe some guy with a trumpet that plays that da 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 before my name's announced.
Absolutely. You hire a trumpet player as well to follow you around and trumpet before your mount announces your presence, and then trumpet again as you enter the room.
I like it. Oh yeah, and every time I tell a joke, some guy follows me around and goes doo-doo-dooch on a little drum and hi-hat. Okay, I might be killing it now.
I mean, still not costing yourself that much money. It's like each of these people is only like a gold or two a day, depending on the skill level required.
I have to say no, I'll kill them.
Are Barry and Terry still around?
Oh, Barry and Terry are absolutely still around and have indeed been making a small fortune buying and selling goods within the city. And considering the 6-week travel to get back to the shitty outpost that you guys left from, they're very seriously contemplating just staying.
Hey, that works. I mean... Not going to tell them not to, because it's their business. I think Zan's going to swipe, like, some treats from their cart and bring them to some less fortunate homes and leave them there.
So Zan is running around playing Midnight Santa Claus? Sounds great.
Kind of, yeah. It's her way of justifying her need for... drinking blood kind of thing.
Would you like want to borrow my horse?
No, I'll be much quieter just climbing over walls.
Okay.
The trumpet player almost looks sad. As you slink around through the night doling out candies and sweets to less fortunate homes and stumbling across a mugging happening in the middle of an alley. You manage to deal with the mugging in a quick and... Sorry, my brain just died there. In a quick manner, as you... Efficient manner. As the victim... You tell the victim to flee as you throw them back against a wall. This is all just a ploy so that they run away and don't see you lunge for the throat and rip their throat out. But you are fed on the few criminals that you do find floating around the city.
I like to think that Zan doesn't kill them, just leaves them exhausted in an alley with a word of warning to, get their act together. Or she'll be back, and next time they won't wake up.
I can kill them if you want.
I mean, you could, but I think Zan's going for a different approach here.
Makes sense. I bet you they won't reoffend if we kill them, though.
This is definitely a debate to be had at some point in the future, as you will have to figure out how judgment shall be handled within your... within Tara Lyneth.
I'll probably leave that in the hands of Zan if she wants to, because I'm going to be a dick about it.
That could be the threat. Zan will come back and take you before the queen.
Yeah, that's a pretty logical threat. Like,
okay, the real. first time they offend, they go to you, and then the second time they offend, they have to deal with me.
Yeah.
You got attacked by a vampire as a warning. Like, you at that point, you should figure out the people aren't fucking around.
Yeah, you're screwed.
Okay. 4 days before the wedding, you find yourself lounging around your expansive manor home when one of the servants comes up and announces, "M'ladies, M'lady Zan, Your Aunt Cecilia, Princess Cecilia, has arrived. She would like an audience with the two of you. Post haste, she said.
All right, let's do it. I suppose Zan would probably answer that in a much better fashion, but my brain is a little bit cracked at this hour, and let's do it is as good as it gets.
That's totally fine. You go down and you meet you meet with your aunt, who is about to become Lupini's stepdaughter.
Oh, that is so complicated.
Yeah, I'm just
trying to make sure. You're my stepdaughter now, eh? Better listen to mommy.
She turns her cold blue eyes on you with a very blank look on her face. Do not expect me to call you mother. Sit, sit.
No, I said mommy.
She sits down and she takes a seat, pouring herself a, waving to her one of her servants to fetch her a glass of fermented blood. And she says, so, with the wedding in a few days, I just wanted to make sure that we ironed out any last minute kerfuffles that could arise. Causes. Have you picked up a wedding gift for the couple?
I haven't had time to do that yet. I was hoping to get to it tomorrow.
Finding something appropriate for something of this magnitude could be difficult on short notice.
Absolutely. I agree.
Well, it appears you have a problem, and I have a solution to a different problem, one that our family is presently being plagued by.
Oh?
Your Uncle Fennec, a kind soul he is, has recently had a falling out with his necromantic lover.
Oh boy.
She kind of looks at you and just, you can see her lip almost twist in disgust for a second, and she goes, let's just say I know more about my brother's sex life than I would like to, but they enjoyed some controlling undead spells, shall we say.
Oh my goodness.
Zan just shifts uncomfortably.
Well, they have had a falling out, and he has said that he is going to go out of his way to ruin Fennec's life for the rest of his days.
You want me to kill him?
I think that if he were dead, you would make him an honorable man and ensure that he did do that for the rest of his days. And I also happen to know that he has a, I happen to know where he's run off to.
All right.
He smirks. He has a tiny demiplane that he keeps his little tower, his research tower in. It's kind of pathetic, really. But I followed him there once. One can never be too careful when their brother is being a fool.
I agree.
But if you can ensure that he is unable to tarnish our family name, you may have whatever you'd find within his tower. I have no need of any of it. And we do not discuss this matter with Fennec.
I mean, that's intriguing. Let's do this.
Yeah. And you know how we can get into this demiplane?
Of course I do. You think that I would let my brother have some lover that I didn't know what they were up to?
Remind me not to have a side lover. Of course, I'd have to have a main lover, too.
Oh, don't worry, Zan. I'm absolutely certain that you will find someone. Or someone will find you. She kind of smirks knowingly. You very much... Yeah, roll me inside.
Okay, good. Because I'm like, what? Oh. At the last moment, I decided just to switch the die that I was using. Okay. That's a 19 for 21.
You will come to two very distinct realizations. One is that she knows something about someone who may potentially be romantically interested in Zan. And two, your aunt is a scary bitch who knows a lot about everybody.
Yeah, I got the scary bitch part a long time ago.
But you also understand that family is very important to her, and both of you are now family. So she reaches inside of her bag and she takes this small medallion out. She starts turning the sides of it so the dials change and the line in the right spot, and she hands you the first one and then pulls out a second one and sets it. This one will get you into the plane. This one will get you out. Do not use it. Because if you do, you may not be able to get out.
Are zippers invented yet? I need a zipper pocket.
We have a bottomless hole.
That is true. I was thinking I would just attach it to that cat that lives up my sleeve.
The cat that lives up your sleeve, I forgot about that.
Yep, the flying cat.
Yep.
That has been very happy to have you home the last couple days.
I imagine so.
Yep. You are very glad that your vampiric healing was able to bring you back to full health quickly, because the cat likes to walk all over you and then make itself comfortable and lie down. And you are absolutely certain the cat hair and injuries is just a recipe for infection.
Yeah, it would be.
See, she says all you have to do is click the center button and then toss it on the ground in front of you and a portal will open. However, it only stays open for 10 or 12 seconds, so act quickly.
Okay. Zan's, like, eager to get going again after not doing very much for the last few days. At least, not doing a lot adventure-wise. I think she's itching to get back out there and go again. Now that, you know, the fate of the entire city isn't resting on her.
This is low stakes. This is your uncle's ex-boyfriend who's being a dick and needs to be dealt with.
Yep.
So you activate the portal and it does indeed open a oval shape in front of you, about 6 feet tall, and as you look through it, you see the world you see on the other side is dark and like black, and there's a ground that has this mist running across it, and the light almost seems to be emanating up a mist, because you can see but you can't see.
Mm. tricky, tricky, tricky.
As your aunt leans in, looks through the door, and goes, oh, such an emo.
Yeah.
Such an overdramatic. Anyways, I'm sorry I lost my composure there. I will see you when you return. You hop through the...
Yeah, Zan's just going to go straight in.
You hop into the portal and out the other side. And then it closes and you look around and it's pretty much what you saw. The bleak black sky that isn't really a sky. There is just nothingness. But off in the distance you see... looks like a tiny pinprick of something shiny.
I guess we'll head to the shiny.
Both of you make me an intelligence check.
Ooh, 20. Not natural.
I got a 5. Slack.
You both start walking towards the dot. Zan, you looking at that what it is, it's getting exponentially larger and closer, but not based on your foot movement. You feel like for every step that you take, it's getting 100 feet closer.
So I motion to Lupini and I whisper, I think it's coming towards us. It's moving.
I strategically position myself behind Megan in case something comes.
I'm half your height. Good luck hiding.
And then I turn invisible.
Yeah. That's a good ploy, actually. Are there any trees or anything nearby that we can, or that I can hide behind, since the invisible one is invisible?
I can put you in the hole and then hold on to you and then turn invisible and hide.
Yeah, there is, like, nothing other than this. As it's getting closer, you see it's like a polished onyx statue, or a polished onyx three-story tower, not very large in size, with, like, gothic angels and statues hanging off the side, and it is just over the top. You can feel the overdramatic dripping off of everything here because this is his demiplane and it is both boring and overdramatic at the same time.
Yeah.
As you continue getting closer, you see that there is indeed a front door on the structure.
Are there any windows that I could potentially see through by climbing up the side of the tower?
Not on the first two floors.
That's okay. My spider climb cloak will do just fine.
Okay. So you're going to try and climb the Onyx Tower. Gotcha.
You betcha. I'll ask you just to wait, and I'm going to scout it out a little bit.
I'll just turn into a little bat and then fly.
Or that.
In the background, upwards.
Sure. You fly yourself up, 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 up. As Zan climbs up, you actually notice it is difficult to climb, not impossible, but this thing is smooth. Like, it's almost, for you, it's almost slippery.
Ooh.
For someone who was not being magically assisted, climbing up this would be
totally
literally
impossible.
Oh yeah, it's an impossible task. So, are you going to go to the third floor or the fourth floor?
I'd probably peek into one window on the third floor, and if it didn't look too interesting, I'd go up to the fourth.
I think we should clear the third, and then but usually we end up having to back. But we should just do the third and then.
Yeah, but we're already missing one and two. We might as well start at the top.
There you go. Let's do that then. And work our way down.
Oh. Was that door at the bottom, that front door, was that the only entrance that we can find?
Yes.
Okay. Can I create lava right outside that door?
But you don't want to touch the door. Or do you want to touch the door? What is your intent with it?
To make a trap so that if we go in from above, then whoever's in there can't just run out and disappear. They'll open the door and there'll be a pit of lava at their feet.
Okay, so you don't want to burn the door. Just to confirm, you are climbing all the way to the top to climb in. My dumbass didn't have your miniatures. Everything else did.
It wouldn't be us if we did these things normally.
Hey, that's totally fine.
Yeah, that's true. We're always going top down or inside out.
I'd like you both to roll me an insight check. As you're climbing.
That'd be a 5. Not so great.
I got 17.
Oh, good.
Lupini, as you're climbing up, you start to ponder, what is the likelihood of like, major defenses inside? Sure, this guy's a wizard, but you are inside of a demiplane that no one else is supposed to know even exists. Climbing up the side of his strange tower. What do you, the player, think is the likelihood of insane levels of resistance?
I think he'll have good defense, but I also think he'll be open to, he won't be aggressive unless he's triggered or feels that we're a threat. But I do think his defense is what he's talking about.
But what do you think he's likely to... Do you think he's likely expecting guests?
No, but I have a feeling that he already knows we're there since before we even started climbing.
That's a good point. It's his demiplane. He'd probably have, like, an early warning system.
And if he hasn't triggered any alarms or anything, it's either because he deems us not a threat or he doesn't want to scare us away. He wants to catch us in a trap.
Okay. As you reach the upper level and peer into the windows, the room appears open all the way across. Like, you can see out the windows on the other side, and it's one smaller chamber. It's the smallest chamber of the whole structure. But inside of it, you see several bookshelves, a suit of armor that is on a mannequin stand. There is a large metal chest in the corner. Find yourselves on the edge of this one. I'm just going to put you here so you don't fall to your doom. Is the seeing good?
Yeah, it is now. That turn was perfect.
Awesome. Promise that we'll play around with this a lot more.
No, no worries.
That's what she said.
You guys are wonderful.
Yeah.
There's also a single door that leads out.
This window that I'm at, does it open?
There is no window. It's just open.
Oh, okay.
The windows are holes in the wall because feel weather. See.
So I playfully push Megan into the entrance.
All right. So you go into the room?
Yeah. I got pushed in, so I'm in.
I'm following. Following directly behind, laughing hysterically.
I motion at you to be quiet. You smoke too much weed. Be quiet.
If I was smoking weed, I wouldn't be able to be making noise.
As you stuff a doobie in her mouth?
Yeah, pretty much. Here, go outside.
Grabbed a good sweaty one from under my boob, lit it up.
Oh god. That's not gonna burn very well.
I'll use a torch or maybe one of my magic spells.
Inside the room. There are two bookshelves. A large chest. I don't have one that's quite big enough. You know what? Actually, this will work better.
Should we check for traps and try and open that chest there, Megan?
I think we should save the looting until after we dispose of the guy.
Or maybe not dispose of him.
I thought that's what we were supposed to do.
Oh, yeah. Look at me trying to have a bleeding heart. Okay, well, yeah, your call. I don't know, we're right there, though.
Yeah, I think we should save the looting until after the killing.
Alright, then. Lead the way.
Okay. I would like to very quietly head towards the door.
Very, very quietly head towards the door. As you reach the door, it is a wooden door with metal banding all the way around it. The wood is like a deep mahogany and metal is almost like a blackened iron.
Oh, wow. Can I listen at the door? Does it sound like anything's moving out there?
Yeah, actually, there does seem to be, you hear what sounds like a band playing and somebody laughing.
I think we should announce ourselves and let people know we're here, maybe.
Could just be, like, illusion so that he's not as lonely.
Yeah. Doesn't sound threatening, though. We should announce ourselves and maybe. I don't know what I'm thinking. If we're here strictly to kill him, though, maybe that's not a good idea.
Give you guys a minute to discuss your strategy.
Well, I mean, I could always hang back and you could go forward, like, as the queen and be like, hey, I'm here as the future queen to ask you to stop being a dickhole.
Yeah, okay, I like it. And he's probably been secluded for a long time, so I'm going to change my clothes into something ridiculously slutty to distract him.
Well, don't you have that thing that changes to whatever you want?
Yeah, so do you have something that can read people's minds?
No.
Neither do I. So, yeah, I'll just go with stereotypical slut clothes and just ask them as her queen very politely and flirty like that, and then he'll be all old and horny and creepy like.
So you are opening the door and going down?
Just really promiscuously, like, I'm gonna request politely as his queen that he stops the shenanigans, politely but firmly, with the authoritative
queen. Alrighty, as you grab the doorknob, I'd like you to make me a constitution save.
Uh-oh.
Yeah.
We didn't check that for traps yet.
Nope, that's what I was waiting on.
I got 28.
Oof. You're pretty Alrighty. Damn constitutional.
Yeah, you take 4 points of lightning damage as the door gives you a like bad electric shock. How well do these guys show up from this angle?
Good. Pretty good. Yep.
Okay.
So I'm just trying to. I can't check my own camera now. I don't like it.
Yeah, that's got to be frustrating.
It really is. This is something I will work on.
You'll have to like put your spinny thing on the floor and then stand above it.
That is entirely possible. I can totally do that. I'll make it work. I'll figure it out.
You need two phones, man.
So you step out onto this large, grandiose, polished black marble staircase leading down to a black and white marble checkered design across the floor with deep, a man lying in deep red robes laying on a partial bed, partial chair. You're not quite sure what it is. Enjoying the music that is being played by several undead, whilst different undead dance around in front of him for his amusement.
That's cool as fuck.
I'm gonna reach out telepathically and say to Lupini, maybe offer him money to go away.
Okay. I'll offer him whatever he wants. I'm the queen.
Yeah, that's true. Zan's gonna stay hidden. Pretend she's not there.
I'm gonna slip walk towards him.
Roll me acrobatics. Just wanna see.
If you slip and fall on the stairs.
That's a 20, but not natural.
Hey, right on.
You move like a snake made of water.
Like Jessica Rabbit from Roger Rabbit.
You make her look grating and jumpy as you glide across the room, weaving your way in between the undead that are dancing around. You don't super duper care. They just appear to be, you know, basic undead. You could probably blow them up with the swing of your finger. And you're the fucking queen. You approach him and he turns and he picks up a large hat and puts it on his head and he turns and sits down and goes, oh, why hello? What brings you here? And precisely how did you get in my house?
Can I start by saying nice hat and can I wear it?
My hat? Why no, it's my hat.
You have like an extra hat?
That's my question, young lady.
Sorry, I got distracted by your awesome hat. I just want to introduce myself and like actually myself and that's it. I'm going to be the future queen here and I was sent here just to say hi and how's it going and can you mind just chilling out on all your shenanigans?
Why, what shenanigans would that be?
the stoner in real life forgot. What shenanigans is that again?
Leave Fennec alone.
Leave Fennec alone. Please. Thank you.
Oh, I do not care that you wear a pretty piece of metal on your head, for I control the power of magic. And he waves his hand and these little glass balls start pulling themselves off a shelf on the side. As he begins, pulling one out in front of you, and as he holds it, it lights up a image in front of you, like an illusion that's put forward. And it is an exceptionally graphic scene of himself and Fennec. Then the next one comes on, and the next one, and he spins them around the room and goes, "Why would I do that? That pathetic sod was... he just couldn't keep up. Now I should show the entire world what he truly is. A horrid lover."
What would it take for you to not do that?
Not do it? You do not know who you are talking up to. I am Dunaras the Wizard. No one tells me what to do. You are just some pretty piece of arm candy for the Big Daddy. I bet you're just doing it for the perks, aren't you?
Duh.
Yeah, why else do we get married?
He blinks, not entirely sure how to respond to that. You're just as bad as the rest of them. He waves his hand and touches his temple, and he pulls out this silvery strand. It just kind of pulls out from the temple, and then he flicks it into the other hand, and it forms a little ball. And as he holds it in his hand, a little illusion of you comes. "And now I shall be able to show that you are just a gold digger."
I mean, Balthazar already knew that, so...
Yeah, he already knows the arrangement. I mean, I'm not telling him anything new.
Zan would like to get closer, like at the top of the stairs, and just let she can see what's going on.
I'm going to give Zan the signal to telepathically communicate to me.
Yeah, but you can't talk back to me.
No, I know, but remember when we said I'd have like a signal, like where I like flip my hair back or something, and then you'd know that. Well, I can't talk back to you. That was Jeff.
Yep.
All right. Onward.
So, Zan, you can hear this. You could hear the voice from when you were up in the room, and you caught most of what he was saying, but as you move into the room, he becomes much clearer. You could... The undead are still dancing around like buffoons.
He My hasn't goal seemed to here give them... is to wait for a moment when he is distracted by Lupini or something he's showing Lupini, and then I'm going to jump off the balcony and stab him.
All right. So as he's staring at you, Lupini, like kind of blinking, "Your name would be tarnished, your family further disgraced after the people see how pathetic the prince really is." Megan,
yes.
As they're talking, I would like you to roll me acrobatics.
You betcha.
As you
27.
He does indeed look up at you as you come down. However, he does not seem to know how to get out of the way. And he rolled a nat 1 on his dex save.
Ooh.
So as I see Megan doing that, I want to just, like, I think we should just go straight on. We're going attack mode, eh, Megan? So
you
I should
betcha.
Just.
I'm about to just kill him.
I'm gonna change right into a I want to do a gorilla this time.
Want to do the gorilla? All righty.
You can wear the gorilla sized boots that make you invisible, but the boots are still seeable.
Yeah, and then I float around.
Yeah.
Just boots floating around.
I like that. Zen comes falling down. I'd like you to roll your attack with advantage.
That's Megan, right?
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay, that is 29 to hit.
Yep.
And that is 10, 15, 18, 25 points of piercing.
Jesus.
And 10 fire.
Alrighty, as you descend stabbing with fire in both in your eyes and on your blade, and your companion turns themselves into a gigantic ape, I would like you to roll me initiative.
Oh, yeah. Oh, 23.
15.
All right, Zan, that puts you at the top.
Right on. I'm going to stab him again. Also, more green flame blade, because I can. I rolled a 1, but I'm lucky I'm re-rolling that. That's not a heck of a lot better. Does a 17 hit?
A 17 does actually hit him.
Oh, okay, good. Lupini is still within 5 feet of me?
Yes.
Awesome. That is 29 points of piercing damage and 8 fire.
Before he even has a chance to do anything, you come in and stab him repeatedly, sending fire coursing through him. He stumbles backwards away from you, waves his fingers, and I need a dex save out of both of you.
Okay.
And all of the bad guys.
Oh. 27?
I got a nat 20.
Oh.
Wonderful. You both take half damage. Which is only 20 points of fire damage as the room erupts in fire.
Hmm.
However, that does cook his 3.
Oh, good.
Undead in the middle of the room. Lupini! After being scorched on your arm and burning your monkey hairs a little bit, what would you like to do?
Well, I can make 2 fist attacks, so I'll do that.
Alrighty. As he crawls, as he moves off of the bed, you see him and you just start swinging. What are your attacks?
Well, the first one is an 11 to hit.
Does not hit as you smash the candle.
Oh my god. Anyways, sorry for interrupting you. I got a 5 there, so that's plus, so that's only a 30 or 14 to hit.
He does manage to hit.
Really? Alright then.
I suppose you're wearing pajamas and top hat.
Okay, sorry. And that's only 18, so I got 18 points, allegedly.
18 points,
okay. Even with plus 9 to hit, those are some awful, awful rolls.
I was with you that turn, that's all right. Next you did time. Just get burned by fire. It threw your game off just a little bit as you just start bludgeoning him and the walls.
That was the way to happen. That was the problem.
Now his three remaining friends have their turn. Damn it. Pardon me a moment, ladies and gentlemen, whilst I fix what my clumsy hands have knocked over. You know physics. I'm starting to lot like you. Alrighty. Zan, one of the musician skeletons comes towards you and swings at you with his violin. And he smashes it on the bed.
Ooh.
Lupini, the other two coming at you with their instruments. Does a 15 hit you?
Yippers.
Oh, they both hate you. You take 8 points of bludgeoning damage as one of them uses their upright bass as a battering ram. And the other one has decided to pick up his drum and is just swinging it overhand. Zan, that puts you back up at the top.
All right, Mr. Wizard is still alive.
Yes, kind of.
Stab green flame blade again.
You run across the bed, and again, Lupini is within 5 feet and is still recoiling. Her fists from, like, punching at him and knocking over the furniture. The candelabra is now bent. It's not a candelabra anymore.
it's a bent piece of metal.
Yep. However, taking a quick look at it, it looks like it's solid gold.
Nice. Zan has a moment of doubt where she wonders if this demiplane is actually going to still exist once the wizard is dead, or if everything is just going to collapse. But, disregarding that quick doubting thought, that would be a 17 to hit.
Absolutely. Roll your damage. As your blade stabs into him, as he ducks underneath the second punch, you stab him in the shoulder as he doesn't see you coming.
Well, that's another 29 piercing. And, oh, only 3 fire.
He gets punched in the face by the ape, and then he ducks down as the second fist slams into the wall. And as the fist comes back and he stands up going, you turn him into a shish kebab through his upper left arm, and your blade extends across his chest and pins the last arm to him.
Nice.
He turns and kind of looks at you. You can see the blood spatter on his lips. As he hits the ground, and the skeletons just kind of fall into a pile of bones on the floor.
Okay, good. That I was hoping for.
We're just gonna keep initiative order for right now. Alrighty. So, that was Zan's turn. Lupini, what would you like to do now? that you are a giant ape. There's the doorway back up to what appears to be some sort of a treasury room, and a door downwards over this way.
Can we go check in that treasury room now, Megan?
Heck yeah.
Let's do that then. I can smash that chest open if it's not even so big. But I want to wait before we do the check traps, not like the door.
Alrighty. There's a suit of armor that is on a mannequin that you could start taking apart as a giant ape.
Okay. And by taking apart, I mean you kind of turn the mannequin upside down and give it a few good shakes.
I can do that.
You don't have to transport the mannequin anymore. Ta-da! Alrighty. Megan, you, or Zan, you make your way up to see Lupini taking the very shiny suit of armor with a lot of details. Like, there's etched details into the whole thing. It's almost more ceremonial than anything else. But you see the giant ape unloading it from its mannequin. Into the room, there are the bookshelves and the chest. What would you like to do?
I'd like to check for traps on that chest.
Alrighty, roll me investigation.
17.
17. You don't see any traps in the hinge. You take a look around the front. There is a metal lock on it. But you don't see any trap associated with it. So you're taking a look around. It's a heavy-duty lock with an oversized key that would be necessary to open it. But you don't see any trap directly attached to it.
Okay. Can I go back down the stairs and search the wizard's pockets for any keys or anything else?
Alrighty. So you're going back down to go loot through his pockets. Lupini, what are you doing now that you've upended the armor off of its mannequin?
I don't know, like, the ape's probably too big and stuff to dump through books, right?
Probably, but you could always smash open that chest if you want.
Okay. Lupini smash.
All right, make me a strength check.
I rolled a 12, but let me see what my strength is. Okay, so that's 18.
You hit the chest and you hit it hard, but it doesn't seem to budge. Zan, as you get down to the down to the wizard, you start sifting through his pockets. You do indeed find a key, as well as when you're going through, you find some sort of a medallion type thing in his pocket.
Does it feel magical, I assume?
Oh, it definitely feels magical. And it's got the same kind of dials that the last one had. Oh. But you notice that the centerpiece is considerably different. And the inside of it, there's a tiny gem that's split in half.
Interesting.
It's kind of emanating a reddish light.
I am just going to pocket that and keep it for later.
One of the red flashes comes on. As it flashes red again, you feel a light tremble in the floor.
Uh-oh. Probably shouldn't have touched that. I'm going to run back up the stairs to the ape.
All right, you run back upstairs to the ape. Luvany, you feel the floor kind of shake a little bit as Zan comes charging up the stairs.
I don't know what I did, but something shook, and it's probably not good. We should hurry.
I think that thing was missing half of its components. I think you should use the key and open that safe and probably find the other half of it, put it together, maybe stop the reaction.
I mean, yeah, I do want to open up the chest, so...
So let's open that chest up quick, see what's there. And then...
All right.
I can turn... Yeah.
You stick the key in, and it is quite easy for a giant ape to turn the key. For a halfling, it might have been a two-handed job. And give it a good crank, and it clicks over, and you lift the heavy wooden lid up.
And I'm staying inside, back just in case there's traps.
The dim magical lighting that seems to just be twinkles across a pile of gold, silver, copper, and several different gems.
Wow.
Do any of those gems look like they fit the other half of that locket or whatever? Ended?
Not on the surface, but you could start digging. It's a big chest. Like, that's the actual size of the chest.
So I'll start digging and stuffing anything that just looks like it's cash values items, not key items, into my monkey pockets.
Dump it all. You start scooping it onto the floor, and the two of you start sorting through it. Your money pocket. You're scooping into the bag of holding as quick as you can.
Yeah, pretty much.
As another rumble hits across the floor, or across the building. Both of you roll me investigation.
Okay. Oh, I don't know shit. That's sick.
Nat 20.
Oh, good.
The Queen Ape is pawning through the cash pile, something catches your eye just for a second. It's gold, like a coin, but it looks funny. So you stop and you kind of use your big fingers, push all the other coins away, and you find what looks like a similar medallion to what you used to get here, except it's golden. And in the center, there's this singular gem fragment.
I scream and in my ape, I found something type way. So hopefully Megan comes over and I show and I present to her.
I look at it and then I'm like, well, we should probably hold on to this for later. There's no telling what's going to happen if we put it together.
Put it together. It'll stop the reaction, guaranteed.
And I can tell that the ape is super excited about this. So I just shrug and then I put it together.
You line the two pieces up and you slide them in together. And there's a click. And then you feel it twist in your hands and lock itself in as a grayish light suddenly bursts out from it. You feel its energy seep into your body and you just and then the light stops. The tremors stop. And you feel every single particle within probably a 10-mile radius while you're here.
And I look over at the ape and I'm like, I don't know if ape you knows this, but I think I just took control of the tower.
That sounds cool to me. I like climbing towers. I remember when I was in New York.
Megan, what do you think about the decor?
I think it's really, emo.
Make me an intelligence check.
Okay. 15.
The stone walls begin shifting color as you're looking at them. The decor changing before your very eyes.
Okay, that's cool.
So you continue loading the obscene amount of money. It is truly obscene. What? Let's. It's my other D10. You know, you're not entirely sure, but you're looking at like 700 silver, probably another 400 gold, and 1200 platinum.
Nice.
And then a mountain of gems that you're not a gem appraiser. You have no friggin' idea how much any of these things are worth. Take them all.
And I kind of look at Lupin, I'm like, you know, now that I've got control of the tower, we don't have to take this all right now. We can come back.
Yeah, whatever works for you.
I don't really care about money anymore. I'm going to be running and ruling the whole thing. Probably be.
Yeah, that's
true. Enough.
It's not like we need the money.
Is our mission accomplished by killing this wizard? Should we go and loot the rest of the floors?
I think we should head back and make sure that you get to your wedding. We can always do that another day.
Okay. Deal.
It is getting on to 10:25.
Yes.
You use the golden medallion in the same way you would use the silver one. As you click it, it opens up a portal to where you wanted it to go, returning you home.
You enter into the very room that you'd left from probably a half hour before to see your aunt finishing her glass of blood wine. She sets it down. And the giant ape walks in. He kind of lets out a sigh and goes, "So I take it that we will no longer have a problem?"
No problems.
And I scream a bunch of ape noises.
Excellent, excellent. She stands up. Then I shall see you in a few days. Best of luck.
I give her a little bow.
She smiles and exits the house. And the next few days are considerably busy, with wedding prep and rehearsals, and the rehearsals have to happen at night, but the location is in the center of town, and Lubri spends several hours being fitted and refitted for dresses, and makeup artists and hairstylists all coming in to help you to put yourself together to the best that is the best that money can buy. We get married in the middle of town, you're gonna look good, damn it.
All black dress, right?
And
yes, what was it? It was a dress made from an animal that was still alive or something ridiculous.
Yeah, it was something to that effect. Like the animal needed to be skinned while alive.
Yeah.
And then tanned, like, and it does look exquisite, by the way. I mean, there are PETA members everywhere, but that's all right.
They can't do anything.
I should make my accessory for the skin.
So the day of the wedding, as the eclipse starts taking over the city, Lupini and your procession of flower girls and honor guards, and it's a big to-do. You are brought to the location of the wedding via a palisade carried by four servants. And then when you get out of the palisade, you get onto your personal horse, who carries you the rest of the way up the stairs.
With the coconut guy.
Oh yeah, let's go to the
and
guy,
the trumpeter.
And throughout the city, people have come to gather for this. And as the eclipse takes full hold, you see Balthazar standing up at the top, looking his absolute finest in robes that look like they've been spun of spider silk with silver woven into them with the blue dye of his normal colors, just spot on. Despite being, you know, probably 8 times your age, he's quite an attractive old fox.
I mean, Lubin is a sorceress. We don't know for sure how old she is.
And in health.
Yeah.
As you come up, the priest standing there. Today, on the day of Black Sun, we are gathered here to unite the houses of our great king with his new bride. He proceeds to talk up a storm for another 15 minutes before he gets to the good part. And as by the power vested in me, do you, Lupini, take this man to be your lawfully wedded husband, to have and to hold in sickness and in health, till death do you part?
Yeah.
And you, Balthazar, take this woman. Balthazar kind of looks at him. Can you see Balthazar's eyes glance up and he turns and gets to the good part? Do you take this woman to be your lawfully wedded bride and queen, then? Yes, I do. Then I pronounce you husband and wife. Ladies and gentlemen, I present to you King Balthazar and his new Queen Lupini. At this point, fireworks start being shot off from around the city walls. Trumpets begin playing, and you hear it getting louder and louder as the first trumpets at the wedding go off, and then the next ones join in further out and further out. And the entire city is out. At one point, you see Darwin passed out on a buffet table.
So fitting.
There is a definite line where he's passed out because there is nothing on the left side of the table. People are still picking from the right side of the table. They're just moving around him because there is free food and drink throughout the city, and he will not be the only person passed out in a random place before the end of tonight.
Yeah.
Through the night, the party continues, and as the eclipse comes to a close, the vampire members of society find themselves back indoors among their towers until the sun sets, the party still raging across a good third of the city. As you move out through the evening, able to partake, who's getting drunk?
Not Dan, I don't think she would.
I was already drunk before I even got out of bed.
So you're just maintaining a normal buzz, gotcha.
Yeah, it's a typical day.
I think Zan would be going around making sure everybody is fed and keeping an eye on any vampire guests to make sure they're not doing any crazy feeding.
Don't lie, you're scoping out your next meal.
You do actually meet your uncle, the one with the centipede legs, but when you meet him, he looks like he's got a procession of people holding a robe behind him, 12 people long.
Oh boy.
Make me an arcana check.
Oh, Arcana?
Yeah.
Uh, 21.
17. Nice.
You realize that the people that are holding this cloak, the cloak is real, and the people are made of flesh, but as you look at them, they have the exterior of humans, but there is nothing in their eyes, and you feel no, you sense no life force from these individuals.
Oh boy.
They are magical constructs of some sort to hide the centipede legs that he has underneath. He's quite thrilled to see you, by the way.
And congratulations. I admire his robe, and I give him the thumbs up. Very clever.
You see why Balthazar was a little concerned.
Yep.
As the party winds down, the adventuring party takes the time to consider their future, now owning both a hotel resort, a manor house, a farm, and half of them being royalty.
I like to think that Zan's going to just retire in that tower in the demiplane and learn some more magic. She's dabbled in it, you know, with her dip and using arcane trickster. So I like to think that she's going to do some studying on it so that she's more well-versed for the next attack that'll inevitably come to a city that's run by vampires.
I'm going to start a strain of mushrooms and start throwing that with the weed.
Alrighty. You add a chamber onto the underground catacombs under the city and be growing mushrooms from both. You initially start with a variety on the floor and then realize that there are mushrooms that will grow from the ceiling and that you're wasting 50% of your potential output.
Nice.
You do manage to assist Barry and Terry in setting up a trade route with outside realms, and mushrooms and incense sticks become a major export of the city. However, Barry and Terry no longer go on trips. They pay other people.
Eh, fair enough. They earned it.
Agreed.
Terry managed to talk Barry into not going off and risking his life anymore. And the party lives happily ever after.